Johnny's journal.
Me and John Henry were all of a sudden without anything to fight. I stood there with my crossbow bolt, and he stood there with his hammer, eager to swing it. The piles of bones on the ground had dissolved and flowed like water, out and away. A beautiful woman, pale as the mist with hair dark as a killer's heart, came gliding over the earth and past us. She wobbled and waned and came to the house and spread her arms wide and clutched at an outside wall. Her body was absorbed by the wood, like a fresh coat of paint. It was the house ghost, of course. There were no bodies in the yard now. The grass had turned the color of a drying dog turd. We could see the shadow moving across the yard, beyond the fence. And we saw two bone walkers jump over the fence, carrying poor Jack with them. Before we could collect our thoughts and make our ragged bodies pursue, they were at the Mississippi. And then they were sailing across it with our comrade. Gone, baby, gone. We staggered into the house, found the colonel there, along with Blind Man. Like us, they were drenched in sweat and goo. Elvis came down the stairs then, and then he and Jenny rounded the corner and entered the dining room. We all came together there, amidst a ruin of dishes and overturned chairs, pulled down curtains and soot-coated tile in front of the fireplace. Blind Man, Colonel, and Jenny didn't know that Jack had been taken, though I could tell from the look on Elvis's face. He did. So I said it.
They got Jack.
What?
They took Jack. You know, nabbed him, carried him away. I saw it from upstairs.
To what purpose?
Hey, you're the brains here. But I'm gonna say they got a late night snack in mind.
Damn.
Yeah. Damn indeed. Think how Jack feels. Things are not so groovy for him right now.
We have to rescue him.
Now I see it. This was just a feeler attack. To see how prepared we are. We did all right with the house to protect us. All the spells and preparation. But now, they got Jack, and they want us to come after him.
Into their lair.
But we won't go.
What? What do you mean we won't go? We're talking about Jack here.
I know. I'm as fond of Jack as the rest of you.
Fond? What the fuck?
I know how cold-hearted it sounds.
No, you don't. You don't know shit if you can't see exactly what we have to do.
Colonel's right, Johnny. It's a trap.
You sense that, do you? A trap. Like we need some goddamn telepathy or whatever the shit is you do to know it's a trap. Okay, it's a fucking trap. Now we all know. We still gotta go get Jack.
They tested us here. And the plan was if they couldn't beat us, they'd steal one of us away. Try to bring us to them. The Big Mama wasn't even in this fight. She directed it. She's more powerful than all of them, but she's the general. She stayed home and sent out her warriors. She's connected to them, commands them, sees what they see. She knows how many we are and how we fight. It's reconnaissance. Next time, it won't be so easy.
You call what just happened easy?
Comparatively.
We get it. And you need to understand this. Because I must be unconsciously speaking Greek or something, since you're not understanding the words I'm saying. We're going after him. Should I write that down? Maybe draw you a picture of us going out the door? I mean, shit, man. We know where they are. We beat them here. We can beat them there.
We had the house on our side. Our charms and spells. And I don't know that we actually beat them. They got Jack, didn't they?
We can take charms and spells and this big goddamn hammer with us. I ain't getting near enough pleasure out of it tonight.
They are far stronger in their lair. Me and the Colonel, we keep telling you that this was just a feeler mission. My bet is that we only saw a small portion of what they can do.
As for Jack, they have most likely cracked his back and rolled him into a ball by now. They know we'll want to come rescue him. But there won't be anyone to rescue. He's beyond that now.
You don't know that.
I think I do. They are counting on our humanity to do us in.
If humanity does us in, then it kind of shows we're on the right track, don't it? Humanity! That's what we're trying to protect. Ours and everyone else's.
I'm with Johnny.
No. We wait here for them to come back.
And what if they haven't killed Jack? What if they don't come back? They know we can give them trouble here, so why come back? They can go on with their blood-sucking, marrow-chewing, or whatever they do, while we sit here holding our dicks. One of us notwithstanding.
Thank you.
We stay. I'm in charge here, and I say we stay, and that's all there is to it.
He made his point more clearly by slamming the tip of his sword into a floorboard. Let me tell you what we did. We ignored the colonel, and within 30 minutes we had gathered weapons and were in the process of making tuna sandwiches. We were thinking we could steal the Nocturne, wondering if the dead folk on board knew how to put it to the river without commands from the colonel. There was another problem with our plan. Two, actually. We didn't know exactly where the junkyard was. Elvis had been there, but as he said,
I was there when I was high as Neptune many years ago, so I don't have what you might say is a real good remembrance of where it is.
He did have a general remembrance, however, but still, it was a problem. The other thing was Blind Man and Colonel knew what we were doing, and were sitting at the table while we made the sandwiches.
So, you're going to go anyway?
Look like we're trying to pretend we're not?
You are defying a direct order. I am actually a real colonel, you know, of the hidden agenda.
Eat shit.
I respect you, Colonel, but I must follow my conscience.
That's a polite way of saying eat shit.
You will all be killed.
Could be, blind man. Could be.
How are you going to get there?
The colonel hadn't heard our previous discussion about stealing the Nocturne.
We'll figure it out.
Elvis stirred a bowl full of tuna and mayonnaise. A lot of mayonnaise.
So, your mind is made up?
Yep.
He spoke for all of us.
We're gonna find them and knock their asses straight into hell.
Go on then, Mr. Henry. I'll even give you directions. But Blind Man and I aren't coming. We are going to meet up in the morning with one of our men that's flying in from Washington. He's going to provide us with an assault vehicle. It is blessed with spells. They will bring reinforcements.
Morning might be too late for Jack.
What the fuck are we doing, making tuna sandwiches while Jack is in their clutches?
We gotta eat. I can't go into this week. I have hypoglycemic tendencies.
You getting any vibes on Jack, blind man?
The vampires, the shadow, the bone people, the great ball of power, or whatever they are, have pulled in and are grouped up with the Great Mother, or Big Mama, as Colonel calls her. When they're that way, they contain their thoughts and images better. She puts a kind of mental shield around things.
Elvis was slicing a banana into the tuna fish.
Ugh, who's going to eat that?
Better than you think.
Your last meal is going to be a tuna fish and banana sandwich.
That's sad. What you're doing is stupid and impulsive.
Elvis was slapping tuna and banana on bread now.
I've made these sandwiches before.
Not what I meant.
I know. And you should know. We're going.
I'm not going to have this argument. There are recruits in the wings to take your place if need be. We have a guy named Morrison who has gone off the radar, playing dead. He's good at this kind of thing. Big charisma makes the big bads stick their heads out, way you do. He might have more juice than you have, and he's looking for an upper management position.
There's an upper management position?
For those that rate.
Hell with it. We're bagging up our supper, and then we're gone.
There was a dead man at the controls. The moon was bright, and the Nocturne's image lay heavy and silver on the water. The lanterns weren't lit up, just standard lights fore and aft. The dead folk were in charge, and they didn't need the colonel to know what to do. We ate as we sailed. The tuna sandwiches were good. Elvis was right. That banana was surprisingly good mixed with mayonnaise and tuna. Who would have thunk it? The dead moved along the deck serving drinks, even though we hadn't asked for any. They served them on silver trays. We sent them away. They went down below and out of sight, except for the dead river pilot in the wheelhouse. After a while, we came to a place where the trees were cut away, and there was a slick bank that ran up a slope and out of sight. The Nocturne pulled in close, edged against the shore, and then down came the walkway. Out went the tie lines, the anchor lines, everything needed to hold the boat in place. I looked at the phosphorescent hands of my watch. Morning was not far away. We disembarked, and up the slick hill we went. When we got to the top, there was a large field full of sawgrass and a sprinkling of stubby trees. Beyond that, we saw the dark shape of buildings and cars through a chain-link fence. Moving up close to it, we walked around until we came to a gate.
Wire cutters.
John Henry had a bag of tools with him. He put them on the ground and searched inside.
How about a hammer?
Well, there's no wire cutters?
Nope.
Damn. All right, give me the goddamn hammer.
I brought one of my own.
John Henry swung his hammer at the lock, knocking it in the dirt.
Well, at least we're being quiet and sneaky.
I'm all out of sneaking around.
We're gonna need some sneaking. We're mad, but we can't be crazy.
All right. Be as quiet as you can until you see one of them son of a bitches and then let out a war whoop.
We sticking together?
I thought about that. I think we split in teams of two. Me and Jenny, you and Johnny.
Sounds like divide and conquer us to me.
We can cover more ground faster. And we can yell or shoot off a flare if need be. You did bring the flares?
In the bag. They got salt in them and all manner of hoodoo shit.
John Henry scratched around in his bag and came up with a flare and gave it to Elvis, who slipped it into the pocket of his coat.
Do what you gotta do. And listen, we don't get far apart, just enough to see what the lay of the land is. See that long row of cars? Take the other side, and we meet at the end of the lot. We'll go down every row if we have to. When we find them, hit hard, hit fast, and if we can get Jack out, make a run for it. These suckers will wait. We can wait until daylight to go at them again. Right now, the priority is Jack.
What if he's, you know?
Elvis pushed back his jacket. He had a snub-nosed .38 revolver strapped to his side.
I put him out of his misery. Or you beat him with that hammer, John Henry. One of us will finish him off. He wouldn't want to spend his life like a basketball.
Maybe we could shoot hoops with him.
We all just looked at John Henry.
Yeah. That was uncalled for. Much too soon.
We take it slow. And if we're here when light comes, they aren't supposed to be as powerful and we'll have some slight advantage.
Why not wait until daylight then?
Because Jack can't wait. Every minute counts.
We spent a lot of time making sandwiches.
Gotta have your strength.
All of his minutes could already be counted.
Then, like I was saying, it's up to us to put him out of his misery. Another thing. Everyone better have their glasses. Gets light? You need them to see these suckers if they decide to become invisible. Only time they can do that, I think.
Not as reassuring as I'd hoped for.
All I got.
Me and John Henry started down our row of cars. Elvis and Jenny went along on their side. We had our weapons at ready. Me and my crossbow, plus a short blessed sword strapped to my hip. Elvis had a mace carved with spells and his pistol with the blessed cartridges. Jenny had a large plastic water gun full of saltwater, monk urine, and a tiny bit of heat sweat from the walls of a mosque and a synagogue, both out of Morocco. How you collect sweat from walls is beyond my pay rate, but I wondered about it from time to time. And Jenny said she'd brought a secret weapon. Hopefully not needed. What that weapon was, I couldn't guess, And she wasn't talking.
Aw, damn. Sorry. Tuna gives me indigestion.
It's fine. Kinda smells like bananas.
Elvis and Jenny walked slowly. John Henry and Johnny on the other side. They saw what was inside the cars. Things that had once been human in tight stacks. Some of them with their noses pressed to the glass due to the way they were packed in with the rolled-up bodies of men and women and children. Even dogs and cats and things that were too worn down and sucked out to identify.
Jesus, poor things.
We gotta concentrate on the problem at hand.
Somehow, this water gun makes me feel inadequate. Like I'm stalking my little brother.
Movement in Big Mama's creature brain. A stench in her nostrils. They were near, as expected. Humans couldn't help being human. They had come to rescue their own, as she knew they would. That made them come out at night. Not their best time. And she could feel something else. Something probing from a distance. A powerful mind poking at her. She had felt it earlier, before she had sent her minions to attack. Blind Man, he was called. She constructed metal walls and backup walls. Blind Man's mind punched at the walls, but the walls held. Sunrise was half an hour away. She would be weaker then. She would not be at her full powers, so it was time to take care of the intruders, to absorb them.
Come to me while the dark still clings.
The Great Mother rocked back on her fat bulk, opening her eyes. For her, the dark was like day. She could see clearly. She could hear their footsteps. She could smell them, and their odor made her hungry. She could almost taste their powers, especially one above all others, Elvis. That was the name that popped into her head. Jenny, John Henry, they were all full of hot power juice. And the one called Johnny, well, he was merely a snack. The suckers slid off her tits and lined up on the floor, first on their bellies, then on their knees, and then they stood. They began to look more human, and they began to multiply and fill the room. The bit of shadow formed by the creatures broke loose from them and fled away across the floor toward the door. The source of the shadows, the vampires, followed. Rounding the end of the row of cars, they looked to their left, where two Chevrolets were stacked on top of a big red Cadillac. Through the windshield, they saw Jack. They could still make out his face, but that was it. Tears ran down his puffed cheeks, glistening in the moonlight. He was broken up and in a ball. The veins and capillaries in his face had burst and were fat red beneath his skin. His mouth moved a little. Elvis, tears in his eyes, leaned forward. Jack's mouth formed words he could barely hear, but it was easy to determine what he was saying.
Kill me.
Elvis leaned the mace against the car, pulling the revolver from under his coat. Jenny grabbed his arm.
He's alive.
You call that living?
Jenny held his arm a moment, then let it go.
Yeah.
Elvis pointed the revolver, pressing the barrel close to the glass. Jack rolled to the right and forward out of sight, tumbling onto the floorboard.
So much for sneaking. Did you kill him?
Elvis went around and knocked the glass out of the passenger side with the revolver and looked inside. Jack's head was little more than a puddle of liquid and a few bone fragments.
Jesus!
Elvis returned to the front of the car.
Those things get me? Make me like that? Do me how I did Jack.
Ditto.
God damn those sucking freaks. Let's smash their asses.
Ditto.
Big Mama stirred. And following her minions out of the shed, she oozed under the crack in the doorway, making a puddle that looked like mud. The puddle swelled and heaved and became Big Mama. Her mouth split from ear to ear. Little knots popped up on her body, heaved and pulsed, and leaked pus like sweat. Down a long path bordered by cars came John Henry and Johnny, and by the end of the path were the vampires. Now white faceless things, bent at the waist, knuckles touching the ground. Before them lay a pond of shadow. The vampires linked arms and wrapped legs, leaned together and fell flat into the shadow, and the shadow coated them like a stain. And now they were one, and the one made a cracking sound. And the thing rose up from where it fell, now a multi-armed creature. The arms writhed like the arms of Kali, but there were far more, and the legs were a multitude. It was as if a dozen Barbie dolls had been wadded together with ink-stained silly putty. It came running, actually hurtling along the path. A singular mouth ripped into view in the center of the big, white, bumpy face, opened wide, and showed teeth like daggers. And inside its mouth were squirming worms and wiggling things made of shadow. John Henry raised that 9-pound hammer and swung it hard at the ground. He swung with all his might, and so intense was the swing, sweat popped all over his body, thick as a dose of smallpox. Down came that hammer. It struck the ground, and the earth heaved. The crack spread wide, and again John Henry swung and struck the earth. The ground multi-cracked and swelled, and a smell like rain-dampened earth puffed up from the fissures.
Holy hell!
In mid-gallop, incapable of slowing its pace, the beast slipped into the largest of the fissures, hung momentarily to the edges of the gap, its legs and arms scratching. Cars on either side of the hole tipped into it like tumbling beetle husks. Jumping splits and cracks in the earth, John Henry ran toward the thing and leaped high and came down with that hammer on that horrid white head, as if he were trying to drive a spike through the center of the earth. The white head cracked and split, and out of it, like black and white spiders, came reformed creatures. The great body they had been a part of was nothing more than a shell now. It shattered and tumbled into the chasm, and the spidery things, the vampire's new forms, rustled across the ground and came for John Henry.
Shit!
Elvis and Jenny heard the commotion and rushed to join it, but they didn't get that far. They found that the biggest prize in this crackerjack box of horrors was blocking their path. Big Mama. Jenny let loose with the water gun. Water washed against the mound of meat like a creek against a mountain. But the blessings had power. And the water burned. There were eruptions of sputtering flesh and puffs of white stinking smoke. And the Big Mama opened her mouth and let out a blast of anger. A hot hurricane wind that carried the odor of carrion. Elvis and Jenny were blown back, and they went tumbling along the path between the cars. When they stopped rolling and struggled to their feet, Jenny's water gun was burst open, and she was drenched. Elvis had lost his weapon, and a lot of pride. Because as they rolled, before Jenny's gun broke, she managed to shoot him in the ass with a flood of water. It had no effect other than wetness. But now, even under those dire straits, he felt embarrassed that the ass of his pants was filled with water. Elvis scrambled to recover his mace. It had rolled under one of the cars. He dropped on his stomach and grasped for it. It was just out of reach. He squirmed closer. But the old car had sagged in the front, the radiator dropping out of it like a bad lung, and he couldn't get close enough to grab hold of the mace. He turned his head and took a peek under the car. The mountain of flesh, like a pile of ambulatory mashed potatoes, was sliding his way, and suddenly the mace seemed less important.
Come on!
It doesn't need encouragement.
I mean you! Run!
Partially lying under the sagging car, a Ford, Elvis glanced again. Yep, Bad news, mashed potatoes, was 20 feet away at best, making a sucking sound against the ground as it squirmed forward. Its wall-wide mouth open, its tongue licking at the air like a flag in a high wind. Sword-sized teeth gleaming in the moonlight, saliva dripping from the corners of its mouth in little sticky waterfalls. Elvis finally got a thumb and finger pinch hold on the mace, back crawling out from under the ford, clutching it. That's when the blob rolled right up to him. Jenny had not forsaken him. She stood her ground. They were both under its moon shadow. Elvis thought,
hadn't Jenny said something about a secret weapon?
If that was so, now was the time. Nothing. She stood beside him, breathing heavy. Elvis raised the mace. Magic mace or not, he felt it was like trying to stop a rhino with a matchstick. Then, to the right, there were lights. And then the chain link fence collapsed as a massive semi-truck slammed through the fence and onto the lot. It hit the blob smack dab solid. Elvis could see now that the semi was pulling a big silver trailer with Doughy's Donuts and Breakfast Foods written on the side. All the O's being smiling gold donuts. The mound of cosmic mashed potatoes momentarily stuck against the semi's front, went sliding into the stacked cars, leaving what looked like a shit trail. Cars wobbled and collapsed. Out of their broken or open windshields and side glasses, balls of rotting and whimpering meat rolled and bounced. The semi kept pushing, some of the balls of flesh being smashed under its tires in explosions of leathery flesh and dried innards. But Big Mama was the one taking the brunt of its power. The semi was pushing her like a bulldozer pushing a mound of dirt. The semi smashed through a row of rusted cars, the trailer attached to it making a wide swing and a wild shimmy. It missed Elvis and Jenny by inches.
Whoa!
And the motion managed to sling Big Mama off the front of the truck. Elvis thought the semi would flip due to the trailer, but it didn't. The trailer swung back in the other direction, taking out a few stacked cars, then weaved back into line. He and Jenny watched the ass end of the trailer slip through a gap of parked cars like an enormous silver snake. Whoever was at the wheel was a driving son of a bitch. In the semi-cab, leaning forward on the seat, sat Colonel Parker, clutching the truck's steering wheel in a death grip. Beside him sat Blind Man, his cane in front of him, both hands clutching it. He rode the bounce like an experienced rodeo rider.
Fuck you!
The Colonel popped the clutch, shifted gears, and hit the gas, plowing right over the fallen Vampire Mama, squirting her in all directions. Meanwhile, back with John Henry and Johnny, the mad-as-hell giant crickets, which is what they looked like at the moment, united again and reformed the raging wad of monster, arms and legs wiggling out of it like hairs in the wind. One of its arms reached out and grabbed Johnny and threw him and bounced him off the car. Johnny got up with a shooting pain in his back. So far, he had been about as helpful as foul language. John Henry was swinging the hammer.
Mine eyes have seen the glory.
By now, the thing they had been battling, Big Mama's united team of cosmic vampire warriors, was splitting apart again. As the pieces hit the ground, they formed into naked men and women, clawing and growling at John Henry, some of them catching his hammer.
He had loosed the fateful lightning of his terrible swift sword! Ha! His truth is marching on!
With their heads and bodies as it made its arc. One was even quick enough and bold enough to grab at the hammer. John Henry's swing hoisted the thing into the air, dragging it along as the hammer swung wide and clipped the head off one of its comrades. Johnny charged back into the fray. But suddenly, lights through the car windows to his right. Johnny felt a little wee run down his leg. The naked warriors scattered. And then, the semi came smashing through the cars, knocking them about as if they were toys. where its grill should be visible, was instead what looked like a massive wad of sourdough. It overlapped the windshield. Whoever was driving blind. Johnny leaped aside, car husks sliding around him, precariously close. Through the car windows, he glanced the balls of humans, some still and not moving, some with sad eyes staring. It was so much like a bad dream, Johnny felt he might awaken, might in that moment be jolted out of his nightmare to find himself in bed. But jolted he was not. The semi was coming right for John Henry. John Henry danced out of the way of the falling and sliding cars.
Shit!
And leaped to the hood of an old blue caddy that was sailing by, rode it like a surfboard until it clashed against cars on the opposite side of the row, knocking John Henry off. He balled up and rolled, coming up still clutching his hammer. The semi was bearing down on him. John Henry tried to move out of the way, and he almost made it, but the side of the truck clipped him. Away he went, air tumbling, his broken arm dangling, his hammer lost from his grasp, a dislocated hip and a big hole waiting for him to plunge into. A massive asshole he had created with a mighty blow of his hammer. As John Henry felt himself dropping into the split in the earth, as the darkness down there rose up to meet him, he felt himself stop. He was no longer falling. He looked up. Johnny was lying on the ground, leaning into the hole, clutching John Henry's broken arm in a vice-like clench.
Hang tough!
Johnny began to drag John Henry up. As the semi rolled by the hole, Big Mama still attached, slammed through the cars on the opposite side of the row, veered suddenly due to the impact, tipped to the side, righted itself, and smashed through the junkyard fence on the opposite side where it had entered. The creature on its bow was sent through the gaps in the fence like fresh dough shoved through a strainer. The thing that was Big Mama disappeared beneath the semi. The dough-like pieces heaved together and remade Big Mama. She slithered away, purposely dropped into the large hole from which John Henry had been rescued, just as the sun rose up and the night fell down. Johnny's journal.
I guess, for a moment, it seemed we had the old gal, if such a term applies, on the run. Had her squirming over the ground like animated fettuccine. But by the time I pulled John Henry out of the hole, dragged him to rest against the tire of the parked semi, I saw her fall into the hole and disappear. I left Jack with his back against the tire, went to the gap, and cautiously peeked over the lip. Darkness. That was all there was to see beyond a few feet down. The sun spread over the hole and there was light on the rim and somewhat inside, but way down it was black as Attila's dreams. And then the earth trembled. I rushed back to where Elvis and Jenny stood by the semi and watched the hole collapse into itself, pulling in earth and old cars from all sides, filling up, leaving only a depression in the earth made of debris. A thick puff of dust settled gently over what was now a ragged depression in the earth. None of the minions, nor the Big Mama, were in sight. The morning covered us with light. The colonel climbed out of the semi, and Blind Man climbed out too. And as Blind Man came, tapping the earth with his cane, the sunlight caused his paper-white skin to glow as if soaked in bright lemon paint.
Eat my ass!
I directed my anger at the crumpled earth and wadded cars where the hole had been. I found John Henry's hammer, picked it up, and toted it back to him. He took hold of it and lifted it with his uninjured arm.
Took you long enough to get me out of a fucking hole.
I was a little tired from watching you run.
John Henry grinned at me. We all put on our glasses except Blind Man just to check around to make sure invisible monsters weren't sneaking up on us. But there was nothing. Shadows didn't even want to hang around under the eaves or the edges of those old buildings, bright as the sunlight was. And it left us scratching our heads.
Colonel, that was good timing.
Accident.
Where'd you get the semi?
Stole it. I hotwired it.
You?
I'm blind, not helpless. The colonel helped some.
I helped a lot. He almost set the truck on fire. I don't know how, but he almost did.
Bullshit.
You know, this truck is ruined. We all looked, except Blind Man, where the truck was easing steam from the radiator, dripping water out beneath it with a smell of scalded radiator fluid.
Yeah, we're just gonna leave it here. Sorry for whoever owns it, but when our assault vehicle didn't arrive, we decided to find our own.
Did we finish off it?
Best we did was rip the ass out of its shorts. It didn't like the sunlight, mostly.
So it's still here?
In a manner of speaking, I believe it has passed to the other dimension. The ugly one.
The stolen truck? I'm going to come back to that subject. I suggest we just sort of walk off and leave it. Now.
We took off our glasses and did just that. I guess we must have gone about a mile down the road when we came upon a filling station. Elvis, thinking he might be recognized, stayed outside, leaned against the wall with the rest of us, while Colonel made a call for someone to come pick us up. While we were waiting there, a little black boy on a bicycle rode up to where we were.
Y'all sure are a strange bunch.
That we are.
Blind Man peeked over his sunglasses, showing the boy his pink eyes.
You all white. What causes that?
Drank too much milk when I was young.
Shit now. That can't be it. Drinking milk can't do no such thing.
I was black as you.
How do you know I'm black?
I can hear skin color.
You can't do that neither. You blind. Milk do that to you.
No. I ask too many questions of strangers, and my eyes went out. It happens. You ought to think about that.
Fuck you, ghost.
And away the little boy went, pedaling down the street as fast as he could go. I glanced at Elvis. I could tell he was a little butthurt. The kid hadn't recognized him.
You're a bad man, Blind Man.